Well, this is our second look at our four-time series from Proverbs. And today I really want to just focus our thoughts, first of all, on one word, and that's the word discipline. It seems such a hard word, quite a harsh word. I wonder what comes into your mind when I say the word discipline. For me, I think of cold showers, I think of misery. I think of harshness, someone shouting very loudly at me. I think of pointless suffering. And I think that's the image that discipline has, a rugged, harsh regime inflicted by some authority figure, something we just don't want to do. That's the image. But in fact, discipline is a friend. It's a friend of anybody who has high goals for their life. For somebody who set themselves high goals to reach. Because if you have, then discipline is the framework and the stepping stones to get to where you want to go. And an obvious example is, say, take an athlete. The regime of weights, of diet, of training, those long, cold evenings, those long, cold, lonely evenings of training. Why? Because one day, the athlete hopes they'll be a top athlete, and they'll say it's worth investing that time and that effort for what one day they'll become. It's worth the pain because of the future. So discipline is a friend to those who have high goals, and we have such a high goal. We do. Look with me at chapter 3 of Proverbs, there on the sheet, verse 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. That's the high goal. Do you see that there? To live and grow as a child of God, to be loved by God in his world. We want to live as the children of God. But in a fallen world, we need discipline. And discipline sometimes means we have to put off pleasure now, gratification now, because then the future will give us a reward of growing as children of God. But what we've got to be is sufficiently caught up in the vision of what God wants us to be. And so the problem comes sometimes not in the fact we're not disciplined, but first of all, we're not sufficiently caught up in that vision of living as the children of God. That's what we need. If we are caught up in that vision, then we'll invest in the discipline. And what we're going to do is just learn from this character, the sluggard. And we're going to learn by negative learning, really, about bad example. And it's a wonderful character, the sluggard. And as we look through it, I think probably we'll recognize some areas of our lives that are rather sluggard-like. And the first characteristic of the sluggard is a sluggard puts things off. They put off hard work, procrastinates. Look at verse 9 of chapter 6. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Just a little bit more in bed. I mean, what's the harm of that? Just turning over a few more minutes? What does it matter? Just put off the hard work, the getting up, the next thing to do. It doesn't matter. Each extra minute in bed, it has no consequences whatsoever, does it? And then, bam! Something happens. The consequences and poverty. Of course, this is in the world of work here. If you don't put in the hard work, you won't get back any return. More to the point, if you don't put in the hard work, you'll suddenly reap the whirlwind of poverty. That's the point. If you don't put in the investment now, then down the line, you'll get nothing back. Gordon MacDonald, in his book, Ordering Your Private World, says that we all live in two worlds. We live in our public world, which consists of our visible world, all the things people observe about us, the meetings we go to, the people we know, the relationships we have. If we go to church, all the visible meetings people see us at, that's our visible world. And our private world is the unseen world, the world of deep thought, the world of rest, the world of recreation, the world of prayer, the world of just reading and feeding the inner person. That's the private world. And what he says is that our culture, it demands our public world. All our energies, all our effort and time tends to go towards our public world because that's what people estimate us by. They measure us by what they can see about us. And the problem is we then get lazy in our private world. We don't have the rest. We don't invest the inner person. We don't pray. We don't read and think deeply. And you can get away with it for a certain amount of time. Just turn over a little bit more in bed. Just neglect for a little while. But then, down the road, can come disaster. He calls it a sinkhole syndrome because the private world holds up the public world. And if the private world then falls away, the public world can come crashing down as well. Where is it that we may be sluggard-like and put off the investing now, which might give us disaster down the road? Well, that's the first question. And the remedy? Well, what do we do? Do we go to a great teacher? Do we go and see some great guru about how to time manage? No. Verse 7, or verse 6 rather, of chapter 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Do you see the point? Those little things you tread on. Oh, sluggard, it has more inner motivation than you do. Do you see an ant needing someone to tell it what to do? No. It works hard. And you know what an ant does? It stores things up. It doesn't just do the thing for the moment now. It stores things up. Do you see an ant parting at harvest time? No. It stores it away for winter. It has gratification. It delays it. That's the point. Even an ant does that, says the book of Proverbs. And you, O sluggard, have less inner motivation than an ant. Discipline puts off gratification now so that we reap the reward later. And that is one of the steps of living as a child of God, the discipline of living towards that high goal of being a child of God. Well, this can be applied to the whole of our lives, I think. It applies to any sluggard-like tendencies we might have. Where is it we need to invest time, energy? What is it that we neglect? You see, the sluggard is no freak. It's just an ordinary person who's made too many excuses, too many refusals, and too many postponements, and then gets caught out later down the road. So the sluggard puts off discipline. Also, the sluggard still desires success. That's the thing. It's not that the sluggard doesn't want to succeed. Oh, they want to succeed. Look at chapter 13, verse 4. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. He says, it's not that the sluggard doesn't want success. Of course they do. But, well, they just won't get going. They want success in the family, but just don't invest or do anything about it. They want to get closer to God. They want to become godly. But, well, inertia just defeats them. It's what you might call the world of wishing. I wish I was more whatever, but nothing seems to happen. A perpetual, I should be more like this, but I never get around to it. The world of wishing. The sluggard still desires success. The sluggard also makes excuses. Look at chapter 26, verse 13. The ridiculous excuse as well. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. That's why I can't go out. That's why I'm still in bed. That's why I can't do anything. All kinds of things are just made as an excuse. Really, the truth is, they just don't get going. The sluggard also has bad habits. Look at verse 14 of chapter 26. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. Isn't that a wonderful picture of just being hinged to your bed? And as you turn over, the hinge allows you to turn over, but it doesn't allow you to get up. Isn't it interesting? The sluggard there, stuck in a rut. He's created his own rhythm to life. You know, the sort of, I'm not a morning person. Well, he's not now. But isn't it interesting, isn't it, the relationship between a bad habit or a personal trait? Well, now, you see, this is a personal trait. I'm not a morning person. But you see, it probably started off as a bad habit, and it became, over the years, a personal trait. How many of our personal traits that are just so much of us actually start off with bad habits? The sluggard has bad habits, and therefore, later on, reaps the whirlwind and disaster. The sluggard also won't finish things. Look at verse 15 of chapter 26. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. This extraordinary picture of the hand in the dish of food and just can't be bothered to bring it back to their mouths. Because even if though it's going to be for their own advantage, they're too lazy. They just have no momentum, no motivation, even when it comes to something that's good for themselves. And what's even worse, the sluggard can't see their predicament. Verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly. Everything looks great. It's just one of those things, the way they are. It's just the way life is. And there's no place in the sluggard's life for receiving instruction or accountability. The sluggard. Well, the obvious application for us is to understand where we might be rather sluggard-like in our lives. Where is it that we ourselves might need to invest? Otherwise, there might be disaster down the road. Look at chapter 24 and verse 30. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of a man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learnt a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. Where is it in your life? And my life, where is it that weeds are beginning to grow? Where there's neglect, where there are ruins, where there are, in fact, just thorns growing up and actually maybe poisoning other parts of our lives. And the important phrase there in verse 30 is, going past the vineyard of a man who lacks judgment, where is it we're not seeing ahead? Where we're not seeing the consequences of our neglect now. Where we see that the delay, we're not seeing the fruit of actually working hard now. And then one day the disaster will come. What area of your life lacks that judgment? I think this can be the picture of the hard-working father who is very successful at work but never invests at home. Suddenly the kids don't know him, the wife is a stranger, the home is destroyed. Seems a great surprise at the time, but there's been years of neglect. Maybe it's the Christian who goes to many meetings, maybe even leads them, but never has time to be by themselves to read and study and pray. Maybe it's the person who's never controlled their temper. And as the years go on, they become more isolated and bitter. And they find that nobody is listening down the years. Maybe it's the Christian who resolves every Sunday after a sermon to do A, B, C. And as the years have gone on, they've never really got to A. Well, where is it in your life that you might be neglecting and therefore might be sluggard-like? The wise who have judgment, they see where their inaction will take them. They see ahead and they apply their hearts. Verse 32, do you see this? I applied my heart to what I observed and learnt a lesson from what I saw. That is the key to the wisdom. It's not that none of us have anything else to say. We always have things we neglect, but the wisdom is to spot it and then to apply discipline. And in a world of impulse living, wisdom helps us see ahead. We see potential disaster. And in God's world, it's the discipline that helps us avoid that disaster, because then we don't live by impulse and we want to live as God's children. Remember, that is our high goal, to live as his children, people behaving godly. The way we do that is through discipline. And there may be things today we'll have to say no to because of that high goal of one day becoming more and more the child that God wants us to be more like. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in your world, we want to live for you as your children. May you help us apply your wisdom to our lives. And where that means putting off gratification today, may you give us the discipline to put that into our lives. May we be wise people. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.